Accession number 27801, Mrs. Margaret Lees, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time at St. Mary's Hospital, Paddington, as a probationary nurse in the first period, obviously. You seem to have used this... I'm looking also at the same time at your Cabbages on the Lawn, which is a sort of homemade book you've done, you know, which looks very good. Perhaps we'll get a copy of it later. But it says the sluice room was your refuge from these fierce sisters. Now, what was it like in the sluice room?
Absolutely, a nasty, smelly little room, which the nurse with me, who'd come with me from the training school, and I decided needed cleaning. So, and they talk now about how hospitals aren't clean. I don't know that they were all that clean then. But from the height you could reach up, the dirt possibly hung off the wall, so we tried to clean it, and sister was very cross because she said that was not our job, which actually was true. But we used to, all sorts of things used to happen in there. I know the men used to have a mug of water to clean their teeth with, and they're washing up, they're washing water. And we used to say, don't put your teeth into the one you've cleaned, you know, because it was murky and we didn't know their teeth were in there. One man did one day, and we'd go and throw it all down the sluice, which was where we emptied the bedpans and everything. And fortunately, it went rattle, 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 so we realised that it was there. But so we fished them out with some forceps. And we washed them and we disinfected them. It might tell you we were young, we had fits of giggles. And then, of course, he said, where are my teeth? So we went and got them and gave them back to him, and he never knew that they'd been down the sluice. But all sorts of funny things used to happen in the sluice. I can't really remember.
Now, there's a story here that seems to be about the coming back from the coming back from the kitchens and a lift.
Oh, yes.
It seems to be quite a dramatic story.
We had a little ward off this. We used to have to charge through there to get to our beloved sluice room, and we had four doctors ill there. And sister used to really specially look after them. I suppose she wanted a good name or something, but they had to have special dinners collected for them from the kitchens, which were down in the basement. Well, we were one or two floors up, I forget which. So I was sent down for these dinners, and that seemed a simple enough task. And I went down all right, and I collect a huge tray full of hot dinners for four people on one tray. And I got into the big lift, which carried stretchers, and went up. And when I got to the floor, it wouldn't stop. And I thought, what happens when I get to the top? I thought I'd fly up to meet the German bombers or something. And when it got to the top, it just went down again. And I couldn't stop the blessed thing. I think I was more frightened of what sister would say when I got back. Anyway, on one of my trips down, one of the porters saw my predicament and shouted, jump! And I thought, well, gosh, if I open the things and jump, I don't think I could do that, particularly with the dinners, and I wasn't going to leave the dinners. So I went down, I came up again, he said, jump on the spot. So when I got to the floor I wanted, I jumped, and fortunately it did stop. I still had to climb out of things, didn't stop quite in the right place. And when I got in, sister said, where have you been? But the doctors were nice and kind because they realised what had happened.
Now, how did you get on with the doctors? You know, did you see much of them? Were they remote figures, or what were they like?
The surgeons were very remote figures. You've seen, was that thing with Kenneth Moyne? And James Robertson Justice?
The doctor films.
The doctor films. Well, the surgeons were like that. They'd sweep in, and everybody had to rely, as I say, at attention. And they'd sweep around with all the students and one nurse twittering around them. Oh, I hated all that, except one or two. One, I remember particularly, just used to come in quietly and see his patients, but the others, like Lord Gods, they were. But the doctors, well, the students, the patients, of course, we weren't allowed really to make eyes at the students, but the patients loved a little bit of going on around them, I think.
Now, you went out with one doctor, I think, from the looks of this.
Yes. Well, that's a personal story.
Yeah, right. We won't put that in there.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about social life generally? I mean, what were the nurses?
Social life was lovely. Well, we got to know the students, we got to know some of the doctors, and we hadn't any money. I mean, we paid incredibly badly. I can't remember, but I do remember a friend of mine who was a very, very good nurse, and she was chosen to nurse Churchill at some stage, and she earned £25 a year. But I can't remember what I was earning, and of course the value of money was different. But we know we had a very good sociable life. 3 hours off a day. We either had that during the afternoon or during the evening.
And what would you do in your 3 hours?
We had to get out of uniform. We weren't allowed to be in uniform. What would we do? I don't think anything desperately exciting.
What would you do, though? Would you go to
cinemas? Go out to eat. We used to empty all our money into an ashtray in the middle of the table and see what we could afford to do, which was precious little because the students had no money either. I really don't know, but we seemed to have an extremely good time. There was a funny little place just down the road. This is Parade Street, I might tell you. A little place, I can't remember what it was called, and I know my father looked me up once, and I said, oh, I was just meeting a boyfriend of mine who he liked. So he said, well, take me, and he gave one look inside the room and said, my God, and he took us somewhere decent. He just wouldn't go into it. He thought it was wonderful. Sometimes when we were really short of money, we used to go down to Paddington Station, which was next door, and we'd press all the button B's on the telephones, and we'd get out enough money to go and buy ourselves egg and chips on the station.
People who'd left change in the phone.
That's right, yes, yes.
Now, what about air raids? Because by then, the Blitz had started, and well and truly started.
Yes, well, we had a sector hospital. Now, all the London hospitals used to send, well, all the big London hospitals that I knew, they used to send so many nurses down to Basingstoke. There was a big mental hospital on the hill above Basingstoke called Park Pruitt. And that had been taken over as a military hospital during the war, and they had quite a few air raid casualties from Southampton. A few of the mental patients had been left behind to clean and so on, but we used to take it in turns to go and have a spell down there. And I think when the air raids really began in earnest, I was down there. Funnily enough, last night I was watching a programme about the air raids, and they were talking about one, a very bad one in London, on December the 29th, I think it was. And I've always tried to remember what date it was. We stood on the hill above Basingstoke, because this was high up, this hospital, and we stood there and we watched this great glow in the sky, and we decided that was London burning. It couldn't have been anything else. And the next day we were told that there had been this very bad air raid. So that was a military hospital. I know on that particular occasion, one of our patients had been allowed home on a short leave, and he came back quite tight, and he didn't report back to the whoever it was who was supposed to report to. So we knew we'd have the military policeman up any minute now. So we put into his thick skull the fact that he had been caught in an air raid. We knew he hadn't, but we told him and told him and told him. So when the military policeman came clump clump to the ward, we stood him up between us, and he told this story about how he'd been in an air raid. And I don't think they could have believed it, but they pretended they did. He got away with that one.
Anything else you remember about? I mean, there must have been some air raids while you were in London.
I remember air raids mostly when I visited London. And funnily enough, although we were right next to the station, I don't think we had an awful lot of bombs that fell there. I know once I went up there after I'd been on night duty down at Basingstoke, and my sister said, look, you look tired, get into my bed. She was going on duty, and I went fast asleep, and that was one of the very bad air raids, and I didn't know anything about it at all. When I did wake up and go out, I found that the end of some of the streets there was a table with a warden sitting there telling people what had happened to the people in the street. But I don't think I was ever in a bad air raid. There must be. I remember the guns firing.
Now, there's a story about a memorable experience you had on night duty in your second year. It's about someone dying while you were on duty. Do you remember that story?
Oh, yes, to go back to the air raid. So remind me about that in a minute. There must have been some air raids. I just don't remember. I do remember we had a girl who simply could not be moved, and a woman who couldn't be moved, and we used to put their beds together, and they put on tin hats, and with great courage they'd sit there holding hands and make fun of it all. But I don't remember the air raid. I just remember their reaction to it.
Would you normally move the patients then?
Those who could be moved did. We had a tunnel went from the hospital right underneath the medical school up into the nurse's home, and that was used as an air raid shelter.
So when you had an alarm, it must have been a tremendous job moving all the patients bar these two down there.
Well, I wasn't really there during the very bad air raids.
Okay.
And my sister, I never asked her. So it must have been a job, yes. But what was it you asked me about just
now? It was about this person who died during your period on night duty.
Yes, that was down at Park Pruitt. And Park Pruitt had big wards, and then they had long passages outside, because no one envisaged when they built the place that it was all going to be blackout. So I was nursing somewhere, and night sister came along and said, would I go and watch an old man who was very ill, had to have a special nurse. So a nurse just sitting with him. So I went along to watch him, and this old man was just breathing, and I sat there for a long time, looked after him, did what was necessary, which was precious little, and he went on breathing. And then eventually the nurse on my ward, the senior nurse, came along and said, is he all right? And I said, yes, he's fine. And she went off into the kitchen to make some tea. And with that, he gave a deep breath and flutter, 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 and he stopped breathing. And I had never seen anyone die. So I rushed into the kitchen and I said, I think he's dead. And she nearly dropped the kettle. And she came back and she looked at him and she said, yes, he's dead. He's not supposed to die unless we have a doctor here. So she said, wait there. So she went off to the phone and brought the doctor back. And we put screens around him, which you always did for the sake of the other patients who were all sleeping as it happened. This doctor came up and I was fluttering around doing other things for other patients. And then the doctor called me. I went and looked, and he looked over the top of the screens and had the most terrible boss eyes, which seemed to add to the whole peculiarity of the whole thing. Anyway, I got whatever he wanted. And then night sister appeared. Now, night sister looks as if she'd never been out in the fresh air at all. She had a dead white face. She looked as if she'd always been on night duty. She said, come with me, nurse, and I'll give you a shroud. So she took me down all these outside passages and things to her office, which was an awful long way away. And I collected this packet of something, which presumably was the shroud. And eventually I found my way back to the ward again in the blackout. And we undid it, and it was paper. And there was a long gown, which fixed round the neck with pins, and sleeves, bishop sleeves, with a little frill around the wrist. And so we fixed him up like that. And his mouth kept falling open. So we tied it, and we tied it to the top of the bed. And then, of course, his mouth went plump shut because his teeth weren't in. And he looked very funny with a great big bow on the top. I do hope the old man understood that we thought it was funny. And then we found that there were two lots of sleeves, so we didn't know what to do with them, so we put them on his legs. So he had bishop sleeves on his legs and little frills around his ankles. And poor old man, But I had actually got quite fond of him through the night, so I hope he understood. After all, we were young. If you don't laugh, your nerves get the best of you, I think. So that was my first experience of death.
Now, what about war, I mean, actual military casualties? Did you see many of them?
Yes. Yes, well, it really was a mostly military hospital. And they were there. Some of them were very long term also. Yes, I remember one particularly. We used to call him our Dunkirk hero. And he was in for absolutely ages. And I still have a handkerchief he gave me with his regimental crest on it. And there was one old man. Well, they all seemed old to me. I suppose I was young. But there was one old man who'd been at Dunkirk. He really looked too old to have been at Dunkirk. And his heel had been shot away. And that had happened to him after he'd been rescued. He was lying on the deck of the boat that had rescued him. And he didn't even notice. He was so tired. And then there was a Dutchman who was brought in, who had been picked up at sea and all sorts of things, and broken bones and things. And he seemed, all the time I was washing him, because he used to wash them when he first came in, he just slept through it all. And a sailor who had been machine gunned in the water. And another one I remember, his sight seemed to be all right, because he kept his eyes shut, but he'd been on a tanker and he'd been caught in the boiling oil, the burning oil. There was also a burns unit there, but although we saw them around a lot, I didn't actually find myself on their ward. We also had the first American contingent. This is before America came into the war. And this was some doctors and nurses came. They had their own wards, but I happened to be on one of the wards where we had their doctors. Now, their doctors are far less... they weren't like our surgeons. They didn't come storming in, and we all ran around them like little minions. They were friendly lot, yes.
Less formal.
Less formal.
Did you prefer that?
I did prefer it, yes. But I didn't find it so unnerving.
You seem to have been at Park Pruitt for quite a long time.
Well, I only nursed for 2 years altogether, and I think I was probably at Park Pruitt for a year, I should think, altogether. I know I spent that Christmas there, and yes, I know all through the bad air raids I happened to be at Park Pruitt, apart from when I went to London.
Well, were all the patients coping with their wounds? And I mean, was there signs of mental problems?
Oh, yes. I remember one man who was obviously very badly shell-shocked, and one of the nurses' boyfriends came and flew low over the place, and he did it several times. This poor, unfortunate man went and hid in the bath, and he really was a gibbering mess, you know, very sad.
Was that common, that they were that bad?
That was the only one I remember. Perhaps we didn't have the psychological ones there so much. On the whole, they were incredibly full of high spirits. It had been a mental home, and there was on each ward there was a padded cell, and we used to keep blankets and things in there. Of course, one of them locked me in there one day. They thought it was all great fun, and they used to, when you were absolutely loaded with bedpans or dressing trays or something, they'd come and put a great foot on your foot and then say, "Now clap hands, nurse." They just teased us all the time. They were great, great, yes.
Were you getting happier with nursing?
No.
You still disliked?
I didn't like nursing.
Now, you went back to London.
Yes.
And what was happening there?
Oh, the same old thing. I was put back onto an Irish sister's ward, and I'd been with her before and absolutely loathed her, and I went back onto her ward again, and that was a women's ward, and we had a lot of cancer patients there. Terribly upsetting. It's a very upsetting thing, I think, nursing. There was one woman, I don't remember what was the matter with her, but she was dying, and she had young children, And we used to go into the sluice room and cry over her. Good old sluice room, as usual. But then we had all these cancer patients. They used to have radium in those days.
So you before we go into that, you had no emotional detachment, because nurses are meant to get an emotional detachment. I mean, did you get one? No. You didn't get one.
I didn't. No, no.
So when you saw something upsetting or...
It really did upset me, yes. I don't think I showed it much apart from this one woman, and I know we used to weep over her, but not over her, in the sluice room, yes.
And that was mainly because of her young family, that, or...
Yes, the whole thing was awful. Her husband adored her, and he brought in the children's Christmas present to show her. Oh, it was most upsetting. Never forgotten her. Mm. Oh, yes, that's right. Sister was Roman Catholic. Perhaps I shouldn't put this in. But she said, well, she must have the last rites. So they got a priest in. He did this. And then, well, she didn't obey rules at all. She didn't die. And they didn't know what to do about that. But she could have the last rites again. I don't know. But she had to be told she was dying. And that really was terrible. Really put me off religion, I think, because she was far happier when she didn't know she was dying. That was hard.
So they were given the option of that. That's for Catholics, I presume, only. Oh. Mm.
Mm.
Now, anything else you remember about your time, you know, when you came back to London?
No, not particularly at that time. I mean, I remember... London, of course. Back that, I do remember that we had a few murders in, or attempted murders. People, we didn't hear about crime much during the war.
Well,
and people,
because we don't hear much about it either. I mean, what were these people who'd been attacked by who?
Yes, well, that was the funny part. One didn't really know. Now we're beginning to hear that there was crime in the blackout, but we had a few people brought in who'd just been knocked on the head in the blackout. One didn't know why. They hadn't been robbed or anything. One of our doctors was knocked on the head in the blackout. And one man who had a very badly fractured skull, and he did in fact die, a policeman had to sit by their side to take down what they said. As poor unfortunate policeman was terrified of him, because one side of him couldn't move and the other side used to move continually. And we didn't mind, but the policeman hated being left alone with him. He was really frightened.
You were saying about the treatment of for cancer involved radium, radium needles.
Radium needles.
Tell us about that, because that's just something that we don't hear about now. They don't do that.
No, well, don't ask me how they were administered, but I know they're not nice things to have around.
In what way? What effect did they have?
They're radioactive.
Were they treated properly? I mean, were the proper precautions taken on all sides?
Well, yes, on the whole, proper precautions were taken. But once they're out of there, I think they came in lead containers. And once they're taken out of that, presumably, well, I don't know much about radioactivity. It's not nice stuff to have around. And there were several patients in there with these radium needles stuck in them. And I know my mother came to see us once. And she went to Matron's office, and she was sitting there waiting to be seen. And a doctor came in with one of these containers of radium in, and said, he looked around, there was nobody there, so he waited for a bit, and then he said to her, look, I'm in a hurry, and I've got this radium. It's got to be signed for. Will you sign for it? And of course, she had nothing to do with the hospital. So I don't know that... It was all that carefully looked after.
Now, you weren't happy, were you?
No, I wasn't happy at all.
And had you qualified as a nurse, or were you still a probationer?
No. I was still a probationer, and I came up to my junior state exam. And let's be honest, I didn't work for it, not properly. And I failed.
You didn't deliberately fail it?
No, but I had 3 hours off a day. I was unhappy in hospital, and I had no intention of giving up my 3 hours a day to work. I don't think I worked all this out. I think it's just the way things went, I didn't work. I mean, now I can look back and say I didn't work. At the time, I thought I was. And I think I took it twice and failed twice. And that was the limit. And Matron knew jolly well I was a round peg in a square hole or whatever it is you are. She knew that. And so we parted company. She was a wonderful woman. And so we parted company. And I went round. I was so relieved. And I went round to the Wrens.
Now, did you apply before you'd left? Or
can't remember that. I think I did. Yes, I did, because I was still in London when I applied. And I thought I was going to apply for the WAFs. And there was a recruiting station, Regent Street. And the woman there looked so formidable, I didn't go in. I had a great friend of mine, who was also nursing, my very oldest friend. She was applying for the Naval Nursing Service. And I went round with her and I said, the Wrens, that's it. So I went to the Wrens headquarters and they gave me an interview at once.
Now, what do you remember about the interview?
Well, it's rather funny because I wasn't prepared for an interview, so I hadn't gone there looking deep. Well, I suppose I looked all right. But anyway, I remember she got up to go somewhere and I could see what she'd written down. And she'd written appearance, good. So I thought, well, that's one thing, that's quite good. A very pleasant interview, and I thought, oh, she's not like the sisters. And I was given the choice of what I'd like to do, and I decided I'd like to be a film operator. That's not the word, but anyway. Yes, that's it, that's right. And she said, supposing the thing goes wrong and the men barrack, what will you do? And I said, oh, I won't mind at all. And I thought, I really won't mind as long as I'm not in a ward. So then I came home, of course, came home, went to a medical school dance on New Year's night, 41, and I came home.
So you returned in January 1942?
Yes.
Not 41?
Wait a minute, 42, that's right, to Wales. Now, obviously, you couldn't just come home and wait to go into something else without doing something. So I used to do whatever was going. And one thing was, we had a thing called a British restaurant here, which no one ever seems to have heard of these days. It was, I suppose it was meant for people who were doing war work. And the meals were cooked by voluntary people. And the charge for them was incredibly cheap. And this used to be served in the town hall. And so I used to serve there. And another thing I used to do was I used to help to make camouflage nets, which was also in the town hall. And that's a filthy job. And you had these huge nets on frames and you thread coloured tape in between the net. You had netting spread on these frames. And then you had to thread tape in. And the lady who ran it, well, actually, she had some German blood. And she had this wonderful German way of having everything exactly right. And if you'd think for an aircraft 20,000 feet up or whatever distance is, they really wouldn't know if you'd put it one thread wrong. But she used to make us undo it all if we got one thread wrong and start again. What else used I do? Anything that was going used to do.